Can we put our hands together and just celebrate this amazing worship ministry? Can we celebrate everybody that welcomed us, everybody that's serving today? Amen. Impact, would you turn to the person sitting next to you and just tell them, if you didn't come today, I would be the best looking person in this building. Well, if that person didn't believe you, turn to the other person, just tell them, you can't touch this. How many people are just glad to be in church? Amen. Come on, no place like Impact. What a God, what a church. What a God, what a church. What a people. Welcome to Family and Friends Sunday. Amen. Now we're in a very exciting message series titled Anthems and Prayers. Somebody say Anthems and Prayers. Now, you guys know that your pastor, besides just being a preacher, I'm also a songwriter. And the song that we just sung, No More Idols, is a brand new song that we just wrote. And so, Impact, you're the first ones to sing this song. Amen. But in this month, God told me to just preach from the messages, rather to preach messages from the songs that I've written, because these songs are inspired by God. And so God said, just preach from these songs. I shared with you last week that when I write songs, I'm simply just writing my prayers. So this is my prayer over Boston. This is my prayer over our region, that all the idols would come down. Kings and kingdoms will fall down, that Jesus will be glorified. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Come on. If you're going to clap, let's clap well. Let's do it for Jesus. Jesus, be glorified. Jesus be glorified. Now, Impact, we are a very organized church. So the songs that we do, we actually pick these songs a month in advance. And so when I was working with Chris and picking the songs for this series, for this month, in that particular moment, I kind of forgot that third Sunday was Family and Friends Sunday. And so I said, third Sunday, let's do No More Idols. Let's do that. Now, if I can be honest with you, if I had remembered that third Sunday is Family and Friends Sunday, I probably would not have picked this song and this title, No More Idols. Now, so this is not going to be your typical Family and Friends Sunday message. Please turn to your neighbor and just tell them, this is not going to be your typical Family and Friends Sunday message. But listen, I really believe that this is the right message. I believe that God handpicked this song because we had to talk about no more idols today. I believe something is going to shift in this room in the name of Jesus. All the idols are coming down in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Now, when I write songs, I write all the songs from a text in the Bible. Now, this song was written from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. It's the story of the three Hebrew boys. Anybody knows this story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. And the king of that nation was King Nebuchadnezzar. He formed an idol, a golden idol. It was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. He told the people, when you hear the music play, I want everybody to bow, kiss the ground, and worship this idol. And everybody would do it, but there was these three Hebrew boys who refused to bow down to the idols. Can somebody wave at me who's saying, I will refuse to bow down to other idols. I will only worship God. They refused. Everybody else bowed down and worshiped, but these three boys refused. You know the story. They threw them in the fire. But I love this place here. It says when they threw them in the fire, even though they threw three people in the fire, they saw a fourth man in the fire, and his name is Jesus. Can somebody celebrate Jesus who comes to rescue us in the fire? Come on. Can I see somebody who can seriously say, God has rescued me from the fire. I shouldn't be here today. Jesus has rescued me from the fire. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, take them out of the fire. And from now on, we're going to serve their God. We're going to worship their God. Their God is the true God. And King Nebuchadnezzar had those people who accused these three Hebrew boys thrown into the fire. Somebody say amen. I want to give you the definition of an idol and the definition of idolatry. Can we do that? Please write this down. Please write this down. An idol is anything and anyone that you rely on for solutions instead of God. Let me say that again. An idol is anything and anyone that you rely on for solutions instead of God. I can't tell you how many people I've ever heard say something like this. When I get stressed out, man, that cigarette is calling for me and I just have to smoke. I only smoke when I'm stressed out. You know, the Bible says, I'll look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. When you're stressed out, your help is supposed to come from God, not a cigarette. Somebody say amen. I told you this is not going to be your typical family and friends Sunday message. But I believe God has handpicked this for this day today. God is supposed to be the one who gives you peace. That cigarette becomes your idol. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, when I'm sad, I have to eat some chocolate cake and pour me some wine. Talk to me, somebody. Well, you make food and wine to be an idol. Because the Bible says God is our Jehovah Shalom, which means God is our peace. When you need peace, you're supposed to go to God, not to chocolate cake. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say to me, I don't really like to be in a relationship with him anyway. He doesn't treat me right, but I get lonely. And when I get lonely, I go over there and we do Netflix and chill. I don't really want to be in this relationship, but I'm just lonely. So, you know, I just gotta, well, you've made that relationship an idol. Talk to me, somebody. You've made that relationship an idol. Now, this is a tough one, but I gotta say it. I can't tell you how many people say to me, you know, if I don't get my morning coffee, I'm gonna cuss somebody out. Talk to me, somebody. The Bible says early in the morning when I rise and worship him. If you need coffee to be nice to people, that coffee is an idol. Ooh, let me move out of here. Let me move out of here. Let me stay out of here. Hey. Because you don't need a drink to be a nice person. You need Christ in you. So an idol is anything or anyone that you rely to for solutions instead of God. Now, idolatry is looking for life's meaning and satisfaction in a created thing instead of the creator. Idolatry is looking for life's meaning and satisfaction in a created thing instead of a creator. I can't tell you how many people say, I just have to work because when I work, I have this sense of significance. They become workaholics. They neglect their families, neglect their spouses. How many people know it's good to work? God says to work, but God knows that work cannot be your God. Somebody say amen. You will never be satisfied. I can't tell you how many people say, if I just make another million, I'll be happy. And they make the million. They say, if I can just make one more, they make that million. If I can just make one more. And then they go through life, they neglect their families. They climb the corporate ladder only to realize that the ladder was leaning on the wrong building. Why? Because they were looking to a created thing for satisfaction and meaning. That's idolatry. Somebody shout, no more idols. Can you turn to two people and just tell them it's time to destroy idols? Yeah. So today there are two idols that we're going to destroy. Somebody say two. Somebody put your peace sign up. For the rest of the week, this doesn't mean peace. This represents two idols that you're destroying in Jesus' name. Come on, look at your neighbor and just say, we're destroying idols today in Jesus' name. Daniel chapter 3 verse 7, it says, therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, the zither, the lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, it says, all the nations, somebody shout all three times. It says, all the nations and the peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Can you see these three Hebrew boys? The music began to play. It says all the nations, all the peoples, they bowed down. They began to worship. They bowed down. And these three Hebrew boys had a covenant with God, with the God of Israel. They were Nazarites. They had a covenant that they were going to worship God and nothing else. Impact, I have a question for you. What do you do when everybody around you is doing something and you know that God told you not to do it? I think God just texted me. It's Chris. Chris, where you are texting me? Impact, what do you do when everybody is doing something and you know God told you not to do it? Can you see these three Hebrew boys? They're vulnerable. They're slaves. This is the moment to please the king. This is the moment to impress the king. The music begins to play. Can you see them? They're looking at one another. The senators begin to bow. The congressmen and women begin to bow. The mothers, everybody begins to bow and they know they're not supposed to do this. What do you do when everybody is doing something and you know you're not supposed to do it? Impact, the first idol we are destroying today is the idol of people pleasing. Yeah. Yeah. People pleasing is an idol. Here they are. Everybody bows down and begins to kiss the ground and worship this golden idol. Can you see Shadrach? He's looking at Meshach like, yo, we can't do this. We worship Jehovah. And Meshach is looking at Abednego and they're looking at each other. We can't do this. What do you do when everybody around you is doing something and you know God told you not to do it? What do you do when everybody in your family, people you honor and celebrate, are doing something? What do you do when everybody, even in your church, is doing something and you know God told you not to do it? Somebody shout, we're destroying idols in the name of Jesus. There's something about us that feels like we have to do what the majority are doing. We feel like we have to do something that everybody is doing. I remember our son Zenzo came to us when he was 7 years old in second grade. He said, Mom, Dad, I need an iPhone. We said, okay, Zenzo, why do you think we need to give you a $700 phone when you're 7 years old? Somebody knows the answer. Because everybody in my class has an iPhone. You got it right. Just because everybody is doing something does not mean you're supposed to do it. So we taught our Zenzo, we don't do what everybody does in this house. Because if we do what everybody does in this house, it means people are our God. But people are not our God. God is our God. You have a responsibility to teach your children that we are a different people. We don't do what everybody does. Because you, by yourself, with God, I am a majority against the entire world. He said, I need an iPhone. Everybody's doing it. And this is what he said. You guys are not being nice to me. I said, Zenzo, do you think being nice to you is at the top of our priority? God is at the top of our priority. Somebody shout hallelujah. No more idols. Somebody shout no more idols. We all want to fit in. I remember the first time I came into this nation as an immigrant, and I wanted to be part of these cliques. I wanted to hang out with these people, and I changed my clothes. Yo, I was trying to fit in, and my wife reminded me this week. And so they told me, hey, if you want to hang out with us, you just got to do one thing. I said, what? I want to be part of this crew. They're like, you've got to rub your belly in circles and tap your hand at the same time. This is what I thought to myself. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They say, rub your belly in circles and tap your head at the same time. I'm thinking, is that going to make me grow tall? Is that going to make me smarter? But you know what? I did it anyway. Because I wanted to fit in. But I couldn't do it. I was tapping my belly and it just didn't work out. Another day they told me, hey, if you want to be part of this crew, I want you to lick your elbow. I thought to myself, "What? How can this help me?" So I was there. I mean, trying to lick my elbow. If I can be honest with you, to this day, once in a while, when I'm in the bathroom, all by myself, nobody watching, I'm still trying to do this. You know why? Because that kid told me, Zenzo, you're slow and you're African. So there's a part of me that feels like I need to do this just because those kids were doing it to feel like I belong. We all struggle with this. My kids love to dare me. And they say, Dad, can you do the shoot? I say, what's the shoot? If you don't know what the shoot is, you don't know. So I started trying. Hey, can we just honor this woman of God? She's the superintendent of schools here in Medford. Let's celebrate her. Please stand and wave. Come on, let's honor her. Dr. Maurice, everybody, amen. She's a woman of God. So Dr. Maurice, I started trying to do the shoot. You gotta do it like this and like this. And it just didn't look right. It just didn't look right. And then my son, I said, Dad, you can't do that. It doesn't look right. Why don't you try the floss? Anybody knows how to do the floss in this place? I don't like you. Because I've been trying to do that for years. I mean, you just, you know, she's like, it's like the hands have to, I mean, I can't do this thing. Up to now, I keep trying to do the floss and it just doesn't work out. And there's a part of me that feels like I gotta get it. Why? Because there's an idol called people pleasing. I used to work at a company where everybody was wearing $300 Kohans. And I couldn't afford them at the time. And one of the reasons I could not afford to get a 300 pair of shoe was because I have an Italian wife. She was gonna murder me and they would never find my body. With four kids, I could not afford $300 pair of shoes. And I was at the mall one time and I found that pair of shoe at a place that starts with the word P, with the letter P. Payless. Payless for Jesus. I was like, yo, I found me some Kohans. Put on those Kohans. There's something about leather that's not real. I walked in those bad boys for an hour and there was wrinkles all over the top. For some reason, somebody at my workplace found out and they knew what it was. They Googled it and they sent pictures to everybody. So during lunchtime, they're like, yo, them Kohans are hot. And I'm like, yeah. At the end of the day, I realized they were making fun of me. Well, don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for them. But here's what I'm trying to say. Please write this down. A people-pleasing spirit strips you of your identity and makes you a slave to people. Can I say that again? A people-pleasing spirit strips you of your identity and makes you a slave to people. Today you're trying to be like Sally, tomorrow you're trying to be like John. You don't know who you are. You are a puppet of people. God created you with a purpose. Please write this down. A people-pleasing spirit wears you out and leaves you purposeless and hopeless. A people-pleasing spirit, it wears you out. And it leaves you purposeless and hopeless because you're just chasing everybody. It's a spirit. It's an idol. I can't tell you how many kids have died because somebody dared them to do something crazy on spring break. It's an idol because an idol demands blood. A people-pleasing spirit is an idol. And this is why it wears you out. Please write this down. Most of the people you're trying to impress are too broken and incapable of ever celebrating your greatness. Let me say that again. Most of the people you are trying to impress are too broken and incapable of ever celebrating your greatness. Their palate is messed up. It's like brushing your teeth and trying to eat right away. You can't taste your food well. Those people you're trying to impress, their spiritual palate has been messed up. You can have your greatest achievements and they'll never pat you on the back. They're too jaded. They're too broken. They're filled with a spirit of jealousy. They will never celebrate your greatness. So you have people who buy stuff they can't afford to please people who will never be impressed by them. Purposeless, and you destroy your future. Come on, every idol is coming down in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. So impact, I have a prayer. This song is a prayer. I have three prayers that I have for you today. Number one, Lord, please raise up a generation that cares more about pleasing you than people. That's my prayer. Lord, please raise up a generation that cares more about pleasing you than pleasing people. My second prayer. Lord, please raise up a generation of a people that care more about what you think of them, not what people think of them. Lord, please raise up a generation of a people that care more about what you think of them, not what people think of them. My third prayer, Lord, please raise up a generation of a people who will live out loud for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, can I see a few bold people in this house that are willing to live out loud for God like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Come on, we need some bold Christians. We need some Christians who are not going to be apologetic for serving God. Now, we're not going to be some obnoxious and annoying Christians. We're not going to be a bunch of weird Christians. But we're not going to be apologetic for believing in Jesus. Why is it okay to talk about anything else? But when you start to talk about God, everybody frowns in the room. Come on, we're going to talk about God. We're going to celebrate God. Can I see a few people in this place that are willing to stand up for God, that are willing to celebrate God? Can I see a few people in this place that say, if it wasn't for Jesus, where would I be? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. Verse 15, verse 14, somewhere there. I just blanked out for a minute. But it says, you are a city. You're the light of the world. A city on the hill. There we go. Verse. Let me find that scripture. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14. I got it, yo. You're the light of the world, and a city upon the hill cannot be hidden. In this day and age, we need some bold Christians. We need some Christians that are willing to stand for God. What I love about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that they chose to stand for God. And for a moment, it looked like they were the weird ones. They got thrown into the fire. But I'm so glad that our God is so faithful. When they got thrown into the fire, Jesus himself came down. He was right there in the fire with them. He's a good God. They threw three people into the fire, but there was four people in the fire. Now, what I love is that even though there were four people in the fire, when they were released, three people came out of the fire. Jesus remained in the fire. And I asked God, I said, why did Jesus remain in the fire? And God said he remained in the fire so that people at Impact Church, when they end up in the fire, that he's in there waiting for them to save them, to rescue them. He's in the fire. He stayed in the fire because he is a good God. He wants to protect you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now the last idol I want to talk about that we're destroying is the idol of self-pleasing. Woo! It's the idol of self-pleasing. Woo! Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from it. Ooh. But even if, somebody say even if. One more time, somebody say even if. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve other gods, your gods, or worship the image of gold you have set up. This is what I love here. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, king, all majesty, they were so respectful. Majesty, we want you to know this. We don't have to defend ourselves in this matter. In other words, there's no negotiation when it comes to this. They said, we know that our God will rescue us, and he will. I'm looking for a generation that knows their God so much no one can accuse your God. We know our God. He's good. He will never leave us out. He will come for us. I know my God. He is a good God. He's faithful. He is good. We know he's going to come, and we know he's going to save us from the fire. And he will. And by the way, he did. Because he is that good. But they said, even if he doesn't do it. Woo! I am looking for some even if believers in this generation. Some believers who say, I want God to do it my way and to do it for me, but if he doesn't, he's still worthy of my praise. If you only worship God because he does something for you, then the focus of your worship is you, not God. A true worshiper worships God even though he doesn't do it for them the way they want it to be done. And I'm looking for that generation that is willing to say, I love God. I know who he is. I know he will rescue me. But even if he doesn't, I have made up my mind. I will worship him. Because this thing is not about me. It's about him. Impact, I am so concerned as a pastor, as an apostolic leader in the house of God, in the church. There's a type of Christianity that is growing in America. And it's a kind of Christianity that is focused on self. Focus on self. I'm a songwriter, and in the last 5 years, the majority of the songs that are being written in church focus on me, self. Back in the days, people used to sing songs about God, about his majesty, about how holy he is. We used to sing songs like, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my song shall rise to thee. Now we sing about me, 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 instead of thee and thy. Great is thy faithfulness. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. We used to sing songs like that. Now it's all about me, 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 me. It's a me-focused Christianity. And let me tell you this. A me-focused Christianity sets you up to be offended with God. Yeah. It sets you up to be offended with God. It sets you up to be offended with spiritual leaders. It sets you up to be offended with other disciples who are doing the right thing. And you begin to resent everybody that doesn't join you in worshiping you. And this type of Christianity, we begin to bring back the lines. We begin to draw back the demarcations of Christian living and true discipleship to fit with our lukewarmness and biases. we begin to bring back the line so backwards that we don't even know whether we're Christian anymore. We don't know whether we're worshiping God or ourselves. This type of Christianity creates Christians that begin to deconstruct the Word of God to fit with their appetites. Talk to me, somebody. These boys say, we know God's going to come for us. We know our God. But even if somehow in His sovereignty, if He decides not to come, we are sacrificing our lives today. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on. How many people are ready to break idols in this place? Clap your hands and worship Jesus. If you're here to worship God, if you're saying it's not about me, it's about Him. Come on. Can I see some true believers in this place that are willing to break down the idols? As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Please stand if you can. Please stand if you can. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It's the last scripture I'll read for you. Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus was giving us the blueprint of true discipleship. This is what Jesus says. This is what it means to be a true disciple. Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after me, in other words, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is what Christianity is about. Yes, God is going to give you the stuff you want. But it's not about the stuff. That stuff is all idols. It's about God. This is true discipleship. Father, I'll live for you. This is your world. It's the type of Christianity that's rising up where we treat God like He's our employee, like He's our servant, like He's supposed to run errands for us. And if He doesn't do it, He's not worthy of our praise. Every idol is coming down today in the name of Jesus. Every idol is coming down today in the name of Jesus. Because He's a good God. He wants to save us. And this is what Christians say, I want to fit in and I want to be like them so I can win them. God never called you to fit in. God called you to stand out. And the world is looking for people, not people who fit in. The world is looking for people who stand out to lead them. Somebody shout hallelujah. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Every hand lifted up if you can. I want you to make a commitment to the Lord in this place. That every idol of people pleasing is falling down in the name of Jesus. And every idol of self is falling down in the name of Jesus. Everything that has become an idol in your life is falling down in the name of Jesus. That today we are giving our lives to Jesus for real. Father, we give you our lives. We surrender to you because you are a good God. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and just celebrate Jesus. Amen. Well, impact.